بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله احمده واستعينه واستهديه واستغفره واؤمن به جل وعلا ولا اكفره واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. الصلاه بالهدى ودين الحق لِيَذْهِرُهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Dear believers, a lot of times when we speak, it almost may sound like a revolutionary terminology that we speak in, but I would like to read from the Quran what our basic mission is, what we believe our basic mission is in the United States, and actually in the world, and I would like to start from the Quran. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن أحسن قولا مما دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني مسلمون. Then the other ayat says ولا تتاوي الحسنات ولا السيئات ادفاع بِاللَّاتِ هِيَ أَسَّنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ أَدَّاوَهُ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Who is better in speech than one who calls men to Allah, works righteousness, and says, I am of those who bow in Islam. So we see that our mission, and it used the words, da'a ilallahi. So our mission, aside from all the revolutionary rhetoric and all the marg bag amrikas and all of that, at the heart of our mission is exactly what the Quran say. Because when we develop goals and we develop a mission in life, it has to be a mission from the Quran, from the Hadith, from the Imams. It has to be based on an Islamic presentation, right? So we don't want to make a goal just to be rich in America and to buy big houses and send money back home. That's good. Our main mission should be something of this. So it says, what is the best speech that you can make? What is the best dialogue that you can have? What are the best talks that you can present to Muslims and non-Muslims? Who is better in speech than one who calls people to Allah? That's our job here in America. And as the brother said, the sun will rise in the west. Hey, we call it, there's a hadith that talks about the gharibun. And it talks about the people who would be taken away from their homeland. You know, because like gharibun, maghrib, you know, maghrib salat. It has to do with west. The sun sets in the west, right? And we call that prayer maghrib. Right? We call Morocco al-maghrib. Why? Because in those days it was the farthest place in the west. Right? So Maghrib means gharibun is used for the word in hadith for strangers. And it talks about a people who would be, and if you look in the Arabic dictionary, the gharibun, it says in the days like today, the gharibun, those who are Western orientated, those who are strangers. And then as African Americans, we apply it to ourselves. And when we look in the Arabic dictionary, the gharibun, who are they? According to the Arabic dictionary, they're people who are westernized. They're people who are oppressed because of their westernization. You see? And then when you go in the hadith in the Quran, it talks about in the end of days, the sun would rise in the west. So we're in the west, we're over here, we're oppressed, and we've been Europeanized. We've been westernized, right? Our language and all of that is Western. So even in Iran, they had a book several years ago called Gharbzadegi. That means intoxicated with the West. All of us, wherever we come from, we were intoxicated with the West, right? If the British colonize us right now in Pakistan, people still intoxicated. The Westerners then destroyed Pakistan, right? Already had problems, but here the U.S. then destroyed the whole place. And still they say, you guys haven't did enough. Isn't that sad? So back to the story. This Westernization brings us to the idea that there's a special mission for Muslims in this society. And we believe at the decline of this Western civilization that Islam would rise up out of that dead matter. And it would give us an opportunity to present Islam as a solution to global problems coming from the West in a pure, clean, and in a wholesome manner. So the Quran says, who is the best in speech? One that calls people to Allah, and then this Amilu Salihat, having good behavior, doing good deeds. We should never let that leave out of our vocabulary. We should never adopt the methodology, the style of living, or the manners and the akhlaq of the West. Who is best in speech? Those that cause people to Allah, work righteous deeds, and it says, I'm a Muslim. Right? Innaini Muslimin. Then the second part is very unique. Nor can goodness and evil be equal. Repel evil with which is better. You know, if somebody do us a bad turn, in Islam, we could return them the favor by if they pop us in the face, we can pop them right back. Right? The same hardness that they hit us with. Or we could be neutral on it. I ain't doing nothing about it. Or what is the best thing is you didn't hit me in the face, now I'm going to do something good for you. That's the highest level. Isn't that right? We can break their brains like they tried to break ours. We can remain neutral on it. It's up to us. And it says the best is to do good deeds. Repel evil with good. Return good for evil. That's very peculiar. I know it sounds funny for me. The Islamic Institute for Counter-Zionist American Psychological Warfare, which of course, it sounds funny for me to sit here and say, or stand here and say, we're going to repel evil for good. Well, we already do. The process that we've adopted is a good policy. They've done harm and they've done bad things to us. They've infiltrated our movements. They've put our brothers in jail. Some of them have been killed. This is Martin Luther King Day, a good man. He wasn't a Muslim. But you notice Martin Luther King, you never hear Martin Luther King's lecture on Palestine. It was though he would have given it at Quds Day, Martin Luther King's lecture on Palestine. You also hear Martin Luther King, 1963, I had a dream speech, right? That's all you hear. They don't play 19 at Riverside Baptist Church, 1967 and 1968. My American dream has turned into an American nightmare. You never hear that from Martin Luther King. I mean, we hear it, we know it, I have it on tapes and everything. I'm trying to tell you, we are already returning good for evil by the process that we've taken. It's not a violent, it is a psychological and a verbal confrontation. We're telling the system, we're not afraid of you. You're not going to take our rights. If you take them, you're going to have to fight for them. Psychological fighting, not physical fighting. We'll get to that later on when we're able. as the young brother said. But we think this battle here in America, other people are going to fight that. White Americans are going to fight that. We've given lectures for years on who's going to... The white Americans is more violent prone than anybody. Just like what you saw next door a few days ago in Arizona, right? When they don't have no money, when they don't have no way to feed their children, Americans, Euro-Americans, turn violent. That's why they're trying to clamp down on weapons. Not on us. We ain't going to do nothing to nobody. We're returning good for evil. Why? Because the Quran said that's the best level. When you're fighting a big monster, you have to fight on the highest levels, not on the normal or a low level. The highest level we could approach this is returning good for evil. Now, here's what it says. Nor can goodness and evil be equal. Repel evil with that which is better. Then will he between whom and thee was hatred become as it were a friend and intimate. Hamimun, this person, these people who were enemies, right, who hated Islam and everything about it, if we do our job correctly, if we approach this situation with the highest level of excellence, it is very possible, like the Quran said, the same people that hate us, right, when they find out that the government did 9-1-1, when they find out that everybody that's getting arrested now through entrapment is their agents, when they find out even the guy in Arizona may be one of the agents, when they find out that Timothy McVeigh, and I get to something political, when the government of America wants something, they arrange the environment. And if they want to take guns from people, they have one of their agents that couldn't make it in the big FBI, like Timothy McVeigh. He joins on as one of their killers, right? And then he do his job, and they take him away. It's a long story explaining the details of America. But if you were in our masjid, you would know that our analysis has not been wrong at all. In fact, what happened in Arizona, we've been telling everybody about that's coming and getting ready to happen. I think I talked about that week before last. But here's the key. If we do our job right, it may be between us and them as though we're not enemies. We have to think like that. We may be able to bring the American public in general so close to us that we become intimate friends. That's what the Quran say. So we got different ways we can approach this, right? We could say we're being mistreated, therefore we're going to fight for our rights, physically fight. We're justified. They're doing us wrong, right? We have the right. They do us. They lie on us. They put our people in prison. We could respond violently. We could return evil for evil, right? They invaded Afghanistan. They've invaded Iraq. They're trying to destroy Iran. They destroyed Pakistan already, right? The ISI is under the USA. You know what I mean? They might as well call it USAI. Right? They take orders right from here. This is why the people are so upset. Isn't that right? So we would be justified in fighting. We're justified. But that's not the highest level, right? We would be returning evil for evil. So when people fight each other, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. We could remain neutral. We could say, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I'm going to go to work, make me some money, forget it. We'll ride it out. We could do that. I think most of us do that. Or we say, no. They offer me fire and bullets. I'm going to offer them salvation through the Quran, through the message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the imams. Isn't that right? That's the way we should look at the Americans. That we're not afraid of you. We're here with a message that can help you. That's the way we look at it. And I'll close with this. You know, in our neighborhood, when we have iftar, half of the people in iftar and Ramadan are the neighborhood people. And we fit right in our neighborhood like a glove. I mean, the people, if they want marriage counseling or family counseling, they don't, because people are not married in our neighborhood that much. So they bring their girlfriend and they get marriage counseling. I do more marriage counseling than anything. After leading the prayer, the next thing I do is marriage counseling, or let's call it family counseling. The people who were at iftar year before last have all became Muslims between then and the last iftar. Yeah. I'm trying to tell you that in our neighborhood, you have never heard of a masjid in the black neighborhood with spray paint on it or people threatening the Muslims. Why? Because we treat the people, they're using drugs. I mean, in D.C., this is high crime rate, high drugs. One of the Wahhabis or Salafis at a meeting a few weeks ago said, Imam Musa, I came to your masjid. This is on the question and answer. And all you talk about is black people and drugs. And I said, well, if you walk outside of our masjid, what do you see? It is the most drug-infested place in America. Right outside our door. And the salvation for drugs is Islam, isn't that right? And all the people, it's different like Dallas. You might have 80% black community, 75% with sprinkles. In D.C., it's not like that. It's changing now. But if it's a black neighborhood, it is solid black, 99.9% black. So I told them, well, what would you want us to talk about then? If we walk outside our door, there's black people and drugs. So what are we going to talk about? Right? And I told them this. I said, the difference between us and you is you accept Islam and now you became too good. You're arrogant. You know how Salafis are. If they, one hadith is going to be 72 different sects, all of them going to hell but them. I mean, everybody, especially Shias. Shias, definitely, they're going to have a front seat in hell. Right? And all the Hanafis, Maliki, Shafis, Hanbalis, everybody is going to hell except them. Can you imagine? I said, you guys must be Christians. I said, because that's a Christian doctrine, that if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can drink and shoot and kill and murder and you're still going to heaven. Why? Because Jesus died for your sins. And if there's one hadith that says there'll be 73 or 72 different sects, all of them going to hell but them. Since they accept that hadith, it's like accepting the verse in the Bible, John 3:16. God sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him would have everlasting life. That's very popular in Christianity. So whatever you do, if you're a Christian, I said, man, that's a pretty hard religion to beat. You mean I can still drink? I can fornicate? Yes, because Jesus died for your sins. I said, well, can I go down and rob this bank and then bring you down there and say, this man right here is going to pay for my crime? Right? Yeah, I robbed the bank. So what? He's going to do all the time. I said, you're a good Christian. Wouldn't you want to do that? Brother, don't be funny. I said, well, you just said that you don't have to do nothing good. So this is the way the Salafis is in relation to Christianity. We don't say that. And we'll close with this. Brothers and sisters, if we carry ourselves correctly, not from a basis of fear, but offer people the solution to the problems in their life, that's Islam. Standard Islam, the fundamentals of Islam, don't float all off in the sky. Just stay right in the fundamentals. And after a few years, then we'll start bringing them up a little bit at a time. But don't come in on a flying carpet, you know what I mean? Talking about stuff they can't pick up. Just tell them, look, there's one God. Fine. Okay. Not three. Okay. I got that. If you can do that, you did a good job. Now we want you to pray five times a day. Take it easy. Well, what about extra? No, don't worry about extras. Right? Just do your regular five. We'll get to that later. And by the way, that money you're saving around in them boxes, just help a little people a little bit. Somewhere around 2.5%. Just help somebody else for change, right? Then we want you to fast during Ramadan and go to Hajj, you know, and then you look at these great people in Islam and you find out who these great personalities are. And you use them as your role models. You'll be home free, right? You know who we're talking about. Don't get any deeper right now. Just get that, right? Try to build a society based on those principles. And America will become a great place to live, a good place to raise your children. Isn't that right? So we want to close with that by saying that we have a mission here in America. Not to fear the society. Our mission is to call American people to Islam. If we do it right, it just may be that those people that was hatred between us and them, as the Quran say, become as though we were intimate friends. That's the way we want to do, right? We don't want to burn America down. We want to build it up with Islam. You see what I mean? This is our mission here in America. We thank Allah for this opportunity. This is a great opportunity, right? Just think if you were starting a new business and you made a little product, and everybody in that society needed that product. And you were the only one that was making that widget. Look at the profits you got coming. All you got to do is make the widget fit exactly, deliver it to them in a way that they can understand it, right? But you make that widget that will save their lives. You see what I mean? You got a captured market. You got to get rich. Of course, you get paid in the next world. You might get some payment in this world. How happy would you be if you knew some people that their lives were broken and shattered, and you come and teach a little bit of Islam to the family once a week, and you go back in 5 years, and the family's praying, none of them are using drugs, right? And their family, even after 5 years, they might even think about getting married. Right? And it all came from you. Of course, it comes from Islam. But you were able to affect one of your neighbors like that. Your neighbors, whoever they are, white neighbors, black neighbors, anybody, they're all here and they all need the truth of Islam. Thank you very much. I think I almost made my closing time. So thank you very much, dear believers. It's always a pleasure to come and visit with you. So, inshallah, I'll go and...